If you've ever found yourself spiraling down a late night rabbit hole of what am I meant to do and why haven't I found it yet? And let's be honest, who hasn't? Then you're in the right place. I'm Teresa White, career clarity expert and 5-time certified career coach, and I'm here to help you navigate the question of how to find a career that truly lights you up. On Career Clarity Unlocked, we're all about those light bulb moments. I'm talking to people who are still trying to figure out what they're meant to do, coaching them live to reach that magical, yes, this is it moment. And we'll also hear from those who've already found their dream careers and figure out exactly how they did it. Whether you're looking for inspiration or actionable advice on finding a career you love, I've got you covered. Time to unlock some career clarity. Let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. I'm so excited because today we're going to be diving into the power of personal stories and how they can transform your life and your career. Have you ever wondered how the tough moments in your life could actually lead you to your purpose? Or how aligning your true calling can change really everything? We're about to explore all of that and more with a guest who has turned her own challenges into a guiding light for others. If you're ready for an episode that's equal parts inspiring and practical, you're in the right place. Stick around because you don't want to miss today's episode. My guest today is Savannah Lani Murray. She is an LLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming Story Coach, who believes in a life meaningfully lived begins with a story courageously told. How amazing is that? I'm so excited to welcome Savannah. She just got back from a trip from Europe, and I'm so excited she's here despite the jet lag. Welcome, Savannah.
Hi, Teresa. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. I'm so excited to have you and learn about NLP. I don't know much about it, and I'm so excited to dive into all of that with you.
Yeah.
But generally, I start with diving into your sparkotype, and then that generally leads us to the work that you truly are meant to do. A quick introduction to the sparkotypes. They originated from the decades-long experience of award-winning author, teacher, founder, and business advisor, Jonathan Fields. You can take the assessment for free on sparkotype.com. And we all have a primary sparkotype, a shadow sparkotype, and an anti-sparkotype. And in your case, your primary sparkotype is the sage. So for our listeners who are not familiar with it, the sage impulse is to illuminate, teach, and elevate. You live to share insights, ideas, knowledge, and experiences with others in a way that leaves them in some way better, wiser, and more equipped to experience life differently. Does that resonate with you?
Yes, definitely. That was the author of the Substack I read, Jonathan Fields. He was like,
oh my God.
Yeah. So that's so funny.
Oh, wow. This morning. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Tell us more about the article that you read.
So the founder who you just named, he just showed up
Jonathan
in my
Fields.
Feed. Jonathan Fields. He just showed up in my feed this morning on Substack. I was reading pretty early, thanks to the jet lag. And he was talking about being basically agreeing to many projects that were in alignment with his maker spark type. But realizing that part of just because he was in his purpose didn't mean that he could handle it, right? It was talking a lot about he would do a lot of self-care to basically sort of prolong hitting burnout, but he was still on his way to burnout. And then he had a pretty important medical issue that happened. So he was talking all about that. And I thought that was a really great reminder that even when we're in our purpose, even when we're lit up, we can still burn out. Like, we can still burn out doing the things we love to do, which was, a good reminder for me as well, thinking through that. Mm-hmm.
I see that a lot with people that generally there's actually three things I notice with people who are hitting close to burnout. Mm-hmm. It's either that they just do a lot of work that is a heavy lift and more in their anti-sparkotype, and they're burning out because that's such a heavy lift, or they're doing the work that actually lights them up and energizes them, but they don't set any boundaries and do more and more and more till they hit the burnout. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes it's also people who actually get to do the work off that energizes them and lights them up, but they are in an environment where there is just, they run into walls all the time and they do what they want to do. So in your case, it would be you share ideas and then it's always like, oh no, we don't need that. Mm-hmm. And that gets incredibly frustrating too, and can really also get people to that burnout stage. So super interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think for me, reading about the Sage one really spoke to me. I mean, I've been getting asked if I was going to be a teacher since high school.
Wow.
Right? In high school, it was like, what about teaching? I've had people in my world. And then I guess it's just a thing for anyone who's going into college. If you major in English, be prepared for just everyone to ask you if you're going to be an English teacher. I don't know what it is. I didn't know about that, but all I would get was, oh, are you going to teach English? And I'd be like, I don't know. I just liked English. So, and that was a conversation I've had with myself as well, was really knowing I connected to teaching, knowing I connected to being someone, a source of information or a resource. I think that's definitely how I operate in with my friends, with people I meet. I'm always the person who's like, oh my gosh, have you heard about this? Like, there's an Oak and Pine joke that I'm like the podcast queen, because I'm always like, I just heard a podcast about that. You should listen, right? I'm always interested in sharing knowledge. But I always knew I didn't want to be in an actual classroom setting. Like, I knew the teaching feeling, the teaching was there, but the actual like academia. So I think when I was in school, I didn't understand that being a teacher is much broader. And I think as I went into entrepreneurship, as I started taking on this identity of coaching, which is still quite new, I really couldn't wrap my head around it until I received really good coaching. And then I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, this person is also a teacher. And
yes,
and this is what I want to do as well.
That's amazing. And that's one thing I really love about the Sparkotype assessment, mm-hmm. that it helps you to find what lights you up, like that sharing mm-hmm. ideas. And I think you said that when someone else has that aha moment, that's like, wow.
Oh, I love that.
That you live for those aha moments that you see, mm-hmm. like when the light bulb goes on for someone else.
Absolutely.
And it's not just in a classroom setting that you can do that work. Like, there is so many opportunities in this world where you can share knowledge and help people have that aha moment. You found it in coaching, but there are unlimited amounts of where you can take that as long as you're aware of it and find a role where you can tap into it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
And your shadow sparkotype, the advisor, for those who are unfamiliar with it, advisors are all about guiding to grow. The work of coaching, mentoring, and advising fills you up like nothing else. The satisfaction you feel comes from walking beside others and being with and guiding them along the way as they move toward their desired outcome. Does that resonate with you as well?
Yep, absolutely. I'm not the coach or the person who's going to be like, you know, I think some coaches, and I admire them, where they come in and we're like, oh, looking up, right? I'm really the coach, just the human, who's like, okay, let's walk along together. Let's walk through this. Let's see what you're doing. I'm not someone who's going to say, I know what's right. Sometimes I will, when it's like simple stuff. I'm like, okay, you really do need a website. Let's get your website going, or like, let's get that post up. But the bigger questions, the bigger ideas, I strive to be someone who, and I think that's the Gemini in me too, right? This Gemini, my Gemini energy is like, well, it could be this or it could be that. be this or it could be that. We could. So I always am coming at things with different perspectives and looking to see like where people are at, what they need. And yeah, I really try, and I try not to go too far into advisor. Like, that's something I've learned about myself, is sometimes people don't want to hear things, and you have to know when, right? As someone who wants to be in that position, as a coach, as an advisor, just as a person who's always kind of looking to give information. Like, sometimes people don't want a podcast episode. They just want you to sit there and hear them, or they want to just sit. And especially in interpersonal relationships, like checking in with myself, like, am I pushing too hard right now? Is this a moment to just hold and be with someone?
That's such amazing self-awareness to have, to know that it's in me that I just want to share and teach and guide them. But sometimes I have to step away from it and be there for the other person the way they need me to be in that moment.
Yeah. It's not total self-awareness. I've definitely gotten feedback. I've gotten real-time feedback of, hey, you know, I just need you to, let's just reel it in. I just need you to listen right now. And I'm like, okay.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's a good friend who can give such honest feedback.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But I love this visual of you really guiding your clients in your coaching practice, of guiding them and coaching them, and then, which is more the advisor, and then guiding them to where they have those light bulb moments that where you get to teach and really share your insights and ideas and knowledge. And that comes together so beautifully in your work.
Yeah, it's really fun. And I learned a lot in my NLP training as well about that piece. Like, we really, as coaches, as people, as humans, as consultants, we can't actually get people to make a decision they're not ready to make. You know, it's really about that person coming to their own conclusion, for sure.
You just brought up NLP, and I can't wait to learn more about it. Tell us what it is, and yes.
So NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. It was created by, well, there's a little drama around it, because it was a group of people, and then two of them, you know, one of them was like, I'm the creator, and the other one was like, I'm the creator. So there's actually two certifying bodies. Okay. In the United States. And really, basically what they did was they said, let's go look at some of the most successful people in these different realms and kind of see what they do, what patterns, what programs they run to get themselves into a state of high performance in athletics or high success in business or high flow state in creativity, right? They did a lot of studying. And on a broad scale, it's a set of tools and practices to, the way I really think of it, it's a set of tools and practices to help somebody get their subconscious mind on board with their conscious mind. Like, that's in simplest terms. And that's really by combining a specific style of interviewing called meta modeling, where we don't ask why. Why is for the therapists. And your friends. Your friends ask you why, your therapist asks you why. In NLP coaching, it's what specifically, how specifically, who specifically. So if I were to work with someone, it's what specifically is holding you back from that, from, you know, you say you want one thing, but you're doing something else. How specifically do you feel that in your body? Who specifically can you look to who is doing what you really want to do? Who can you look to as a, maybe a support or as a model. So it's a kind of process of meta modeling, interviewing, to really get to the thing beneath the thing, is the phrase I use a lot, right? Someone will come to me. The example I used is a woman hired me because she really wanted to do social media. She's like, I don't know, I'm stuck on the social media. And then as we've been working together partway through, it was like, oh, no, this isn't about social media. This is about all these other fun things that we want to, you know? So I think a lot of times, maybe because I come from a technical support background, I come from website design, copywriting, content strategy, people have come to me and gone like, oh, I want to work with you on this piece, this sort of social media outward presenting. And then usually what would happen was I would work with them, you know, I'd do a brand storytelling guide or something like that. And then I wouldn't necessarily see that getting implemented. So I realized NLP was sort of the missing piece for me to bring another level of support to what I'm doing. Because then I can say, because I've been right there, right? Like, who in the world has not gone, I really want X, and then turned around and done Y?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So NLP is all about bridging that gap between that feeling, that thought you have of like, I really want this, but then you kind of do something that's not supportive of that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so fascinating. And so many of the people I talk to, they are not happy at work. Mm-hmm. They're not in the right position, not in the right career, not in the right company, and they dread going to work every day. Yeah. And of course, they would love a career that brings them joy and makes them feel alive and where they look forward going to work each day. Yeah. But something stops them.
Yes.
How would you approach that with neuro-linguistic programming, that situation? Mm.
So I received an exercise, the training I did, shout out to Nikki Schneider, Global NLP, amazing, just an incredible program. And it was really cool because what we would do is we'd learn something and then we'd work with each other, like work with the people mm-hmm. in the group. So we did what's called a values elicitation. And I do this one with all of my clients now because it's just, it frames up everything else we do. And really you basically ask a question. So you go, what do you value in a relationship? And we start with what do you value in a relationship, because it helps people just sort of get into this mindset of like, okay, what's important to me? And then I usually frame it out because people will get a little caught up in like an intimate or a significant other relationship. Yeah. And I'm like, what do you value in any relationship? And say somebody says trust. What's bigger and more important than trust?
Oh.
What's bigger and more important than trust? Maybe they say connection. Then they go community. And you basically ask that question. It can get a little repetitive. So you could do this by yourself. You could kind of tune in and maybe write it out for yourself. So what do you value in any relationship? What's bigger and more important than that? And basically, you will just keep working up. You'll keep asking that question until you kind of feel something in your body. And you can do it a few times. You can do it a few times. You can kind of go through several rounds. But really, it's what in NLP we'd call a state change. Like you feel your state change. Maybe your shoulders drop. One client of mine got really emotional when she hit what's called her core state. This core state is sort of like the essence of you. And when you get into values, when you get into what your values are, then you can see where there might be misalignment between your values. And maybe one value is pulling you in one direction, but one value is pulling you in another. So maybe you have one value that's like adventurousness, excitement. And that part, who you see in a client, they're going, I really want to branch out. I really want to maybe go into entrepreneurship, or I want to take this job in a foreign country. But maybe another value they have is safety or familiarity or comfort.
Yeah.
So then if you have these two values inside of you kind of like battling it out, right, all the time, you're not going to feel very good. You're going to feel really stuck and really out of sync with yourself.
Yeah.
And then the next step to that would be to, if safety is the core value, if safety and, excitement are the two core values.
Yeah.
Then really looking at using NLP to help them figure out where they could fulfill both so that it's not, right? It's not an either or thing. Or maybe it's peace and comfort, but they feel that when they're in a place of comfort, they're not very peaceful because it's familiar. They've become comfortable. So that would be how I would approach it. And then I imagine, you in your own way get to that point with someone where they're going, I'm really nervous. And I imagine the spark type assessment helps them to kind of move in that direction and be like, okay, you know what? This is really outside of alignment. And that's the motivation to move. So it's just really approach similar outcome, but approaching.
Yes. Oh, that is so beautiful. And as you were explaining it, I do a lot of IFS, internal family system therapy.
Very similar. I'm obsessed with IFS.
I'm obsessed with IFS too. Oh my God. I love IFS. But like I've had so many.
You do?
Okay, we have to do a separate episode on IFS. I could talk about it all day long.
Okay.
So my life, like, so good. But I've had so many times situations where two parts of mine were just battling it out, like as you were describing it. Mm-hmm. And there are times where they could not get on the same page. But even just that awareness of like, okay, I feel really not well today because one part of me wants to do this and another part of me wants to do this. Just that awareness can really help you, like, okay, this is what's influencing how I feel today. And you can just make a more conscious decision on which direction to take next.
Yeah. Well, and I know IFS posits that there are no bad parts.
Yeah.
Right? That's a big one. And NLP posits that all behavior starts from a positive intent. So that's the same kind of thing, right? When you can have some grace for that part, you can go like, oh, you were trying really hard to keep me safe. You're trying really hard to keep me peaceful. You're really afraid that I'm, you know, you learned at some young age to make this choice or make this decision. And now you're just playing that program out, playing that pattern out.
Yeah.
I've done some like very amateur parts work. But a lot of times when you just go like, oh, part, I see you. Like, I see you. I'm so grateful for you. It'll just calm right down. Like, it'll be like, oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, it's beautiful. And the idea is really right that all people, we have all these different parts. It's just, we're usually not aware of it. So for me, the big insight was I have this really big people-pleasing part. It just wants to do what everyone else wants me to do. And that's been operating my entire system for so long. Yeah. And it shut out all the other parts. So now that I've became more aware of like, okay, I do have a part that can be assertive. I do have a part that, all these different ones. It's so powerful to be like, okay, this I have a part that can get angry, which I didn't know about for a long time. Mm-hmm. Of like, okay, can this people-pleasing part step back so I can listen to this? And I've gotten such incredible insights from just knowing that there is multiple parts of me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it opens it up. And that's because you have the firefighters. What are the different ones? There's like firefighters. So
I'm not too familiar with that part. Firefighters.
They have like firefighters, the protectors.
Exiles.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. We could do a whole nother episode.
Okay. We're going to do another episode. That's amazing. But yes, I totally see. And I love how complementary it is because what I help clients with is, so for if I have a client who is, for example, an advisor sage, they're really all about guiding and sharing knowledge. Mm-hmm. And we look at where have you done that in the past and how can you do more of that?
Yeah.
And I think that NLP can really add another layer to that of like, okay, so what values do you have that might be in conflict and that's keeping you from then making that step of, okay, making this career change is scary, and it probably feels extra scary when you have a value of safety or familiarity or comfort, and you have another value of wanting to be happy, fulfilled, whatever it is, but you're stuck between those two values, and then you're stuck in that not be able to make a change or be able to take that next step.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And NLP or the spark type, all of these. I mean, I didn't used to understand, like, when you'd look at a coach's website and it would be like certified in this, like, I'd be like, why do they have all those bullet points? You know, like this certification. Right. And then I went on one training and I'm like, give me all of them. Like, I want all of the things because they're all just different angles to something very, that's kind of at the core, right? Which is helping people become who they really want to be.
Exactly. You said that perfectly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love your tagline or the one line that you go with a lot. And it is a life meaningfully lived begins with a story courageously told. Mm. Can you share more about what it means to have a meaningful life that begins with a story courageously told?
Yeah. You said tagline and I was like, which one? I don't remember. So I'm glad you read it. But yeah, the thought process behind this story concept, you know, I was thinking about it today before the podcast and I'm sort of an ex. I would say I'm an expert in rewriting my story. I've had a lot of different situations from when I was little to up to now where I've had to assess, like, what story am I telling myself? And is this the truest, most alive version of my story? And so that it was really important to me to put that front and center on my website, because it's in my intro, it's in my pitch, like, it's just part of my language now. Because, and the word courageously was really important to me, because I think it can be really scary for people, myself included, to go like, I'm going to change my story now. This is not the story I'm writing anymore. Because, you know, especially in my experience with mental health and working through the mental health stuff, I had a lot of stories I just told, you know, the story of who I am, who I would be, the story of like what my life was. And then again, with sobriety, this was a huge one for me. I really had to change the story of what it means to be someone who's chosen sobriety. And my old story was all around what I would miss out on, maybe like what I was worthy of, what I was capable of, and just like physically actually writing down, this is what my life looks like. This is what this next chapter is going to be, free from this thing, making this new choice. So to me, it's about a life meaningfully lived. If you don't know, right? If we weren't storytelling creatures, if we didn't make meaning from the world, everything would just be data points.
Yeah.
We have to make sense of our life and our experience through a story, right? Why do we ask, tell me about yourself, what's your story? Because we don't want to hear, oh, you know, here's my height and weight, here's what school I went to. We want to hear like, how did you get there? What did you do? We want to go beyond just sort of this random amalgamation of data, because that's not who we are. Yeah. We're a story. We're a narrative. We are meaning-making creatures. So when you tap into that, you can make sense of the things that have happened in your life, right? So my story around, I mean, I'll just use the sobriety one as an example. Like my story was for a long time, pre-sobriety, it was regret. It was, oh my goodness, what am I doing? What's wrong with me? And why can't I be better? Why can't I be different? You know, why do I have this thing that's so... And now my story is like, oh, all of that happened to me because now I'm in a position where I can be there for people in that way. I've learned something new. And you write your story in hindsight. You write your story of your past, and you really write the story of your future, and you live your story in your present. So if you're not thinking through, like, what is that story? What is the story I want to tell myself on a daily basis? What's the story of my last 5, 10, 20, 30 years? If you're not becoming very intentional with that and being really courageous in it, right? Because it's a scary place to be in. I know I was right there of like, oh man, you know, I remember hitting like 25 and being like, I've been here for a quarter of a century. What does it all mean? And then 28, and I know I'll do it again at 30, and I'll do it again at 35, and I'll do it at all these different ages. So I want people to really start taking ownership of their story, to really start saying, this is my story and I'm very proud of it. And now I get to be in charge of writing what it's going to be. It's not something that happens to me. It's something that I live out and I create.
That is so beautiful. That was just really impactful what you shared. Thank you, Savannah.
Well, thank you.
And I love how you speak, if you talk about, because you're right, we have all these data points. Mm-hmm. And I think our subconscious or unconscious, that just makes up stories around it, right? Mm-hmm. And they just become our reality unless we become aware of what we actually tell ourselves and then get in the driver's seat and reframe the story that we want to tell ourselves.
Right.
And I think we all have those stories of I'm not good enough, or I'm not this and I'm not that. And that can really bring ourselves down. Mm-hmm. But rewriting it is so powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you get to rewrite it anytime. Like, mm-hmm. I had that quite often with, you know, previous to the sobriety, there was a recovery piece. I struggled with eating disorders all through my high school years. And I had such this level of regret, this like deep sadness, like, oh man, at 16, I wasn't doing fun things. I was, you know, I was in therapy and I was working on all this stuff and I was trying to do this stupid thing, you know, like, oh my gosh, really? I had a hard time eating. But it was so much more than that. And it's just been this ongoing thing where I'm like, no, but that made me really value like being in a group, being in community. I went to Mexico, right? Where it's a small group of people. We're all sitting together. We're all like bearing our souls. And everyone else in the space was like, wow, this is intense. And I'm like, this is where I feel comfortable. Because I realized I'd done it at 16, 17, 18. Right. Wow. I'd been in rooms and I had developed this real deep appreciation for women coming together to help each other grow, to help each other understand themselves better. And each phase has been just like a, I call it like a reorienting, right? You could go over there. You could go like, I wasted time. I'm not good enough. I'll never get those years back. Or you can make a decision and say, this is what that meant.
Yeah.
And it's subjective.
Right.
You get to make it, you get to write it.
That's so powerful. And I really think there's so much power into also how we want to shape our future story. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times we live like life is happening to us.
Yeah.
I work with a lot of women who want to make a change in their careers. And most of them just fell into a career at some point, like myself included. I graduated high school and then that was just the one job I got. And then I worked my way up there. But it wasn't a choice I made. It's just where I ended up. And so life happens to us. And unless we are like, okay, I need to get in the driver's seat and decide what is my story and what do I want my story to be going forward. Unless we do that, life just keeps happening to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm
not saying it will never happen to us. There will always, but yeah. You still will feel more in charge and you're making conscious decisions.
Yeah. And really it's, so an exercise I did right when I got back, and this can be one for anyone who listens to it, is NLP works a lot with timelines as well. We work with timelining someone. So I wouldn't recommend trying like going to your past timeline without some support first, because if you have any real heavy stuff, you know, that's not this, you know, but for, you can do what's called future pacing. You can go into maybe like a future scenario. You can look through. So what I did when I got home was I went to my timeline. I went along my timeline to a year from now, looking backward. And I just wrote out, what did I do? How did I get here? What did I say yes to? What did I say no to? Who is in my life? Who wasn't? What choices did I make? What did my business look like? Like really get familiar. That's kind of where, again, and they're all connected, right? But this is where that manifesting, the Joe Dispenza, get familiar with your future story by looking backward at it. Don't try and... Because if you stay in the present moment, you're going to just spin yourself out. You're going to be like, well, I can't get that. I don't know how I'm going to do that. What's, you know, I'm not worthy of that. But if you go from, I'm a year from now, I've achieved everything. You know, it's September 4th, 2025. I've achieved all these things. It's much more manageable. It's you're like, oh, okay, I did it. And I imagine for people, you might find some interesting new things like, oh, that person's not in my world anymore. Or that choice I used to make all the time is not there. Oh, I'm living in a different place. I'm doing something totally different. My car's different. Who knows, right? I have another dog. I have another cat. You really can start to just play with writing the story of your future from hindsight.
Yeah.
That can be a really good exercise.
It's just a beautiful exercise. Mm-hmm. I do something similar with my clients, but not that in depth, where I have them visualize, mm-hmm. what does your life look like? Let's say, mm-hmm. you can wave a magic wand and a year from now you have the life that you're truly dreaming of. Mm-hmm. And then you go in and meet that future self and ask them for advice.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and I think it's really great to then work backwards, because right now it seems overwhelming, right? If I want to say like, okay, in a year from now, I want A, B, and C. I want to have a new job. I want to move to a new place. I want to have a new dog. I don't know what else. I want to start a new hobby. But then when you say like, okay, a year from now, I have all of this. Mm-hmm. How does my timeline look backwards?
Yeah.
It might just become doable. It's like, oh, okay, this month I just need to do take step one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it takes the overwhelm out of trying to make this huge change.
Yeah, definitely. And it just becomes part of your trajectory. It's not something you're like forcing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as we're coming to an end, and I could talk to you forever, but for people who feel really stuck right now, they're in a situation they're not where they want to be. Mm-hmm. What is your one suggestion on where they can start to take more charge of their life and write a new story for themselves?
For people who are feeling stuck, I think I'll share the exercise that I do with anyone I meet with. So some people are like, what? But I do 1 hour consultations just because I love what I'm doing. And I'm like, I don't really feel, I read someone say like, if it can be done in less than an hour, it should be an email. So like he's a big believer in like meetings should be an hour because they need to be an hour. So I offer that to everyone. And the exercise I do is it's four parts. You start with, I believe. And you really just write down like, what do you believe? I believe that. I believe that the world is a wonderful place. I believe in caring community, whatever it is, just kind of let yourself free flow what you believe in. And then the next statement is, I'm creating a world where. And this statement is all about helping you get into your vision. You're not the only one doing it, but you're playing a role in that. So what kind of world are you creating? I'm creating a world where people are tapped into their purpose. I'm creating a world where families have safety. Whatever it is, just let yourself kind of go from that place. And that's really around your vision statement. Like, what's your big vision for the world? The next statement is, I am here to so that. So I am here to blank so that blank. So on my website, on my about page, I put, my purpose is to come home to myself as I inspire to do others to do the same. And that came from doing this exercise. So it was like, I am here to come home to myself so that others can do the same. And then I just reworked it. And then the last statement is, I bring this all to life by. And that gets into mission. And that's where you can start to see that your vision, purpose, and mission, those are how you get to choose to infuse those into whatever you do. So it's, you can find a, you can go either way, right? I think a lot of people, they go like, I'm going to find a career that gives me purpose. I'm a big believer in find your purpose and then put that into everything you do. So that's where I would start, because that's where I start with everyone I work with, is those four.
Thank you for sharing that beautiful exercise. Just as you're talking about, I can see how powerful it is to really think about these four different aspects and mm-hmm. having a vision and a mission and a purpose mm-hmm. and being clear on that.
Yeah, definitely.
So where can our listeners connect with you and learn more about your work, or could possibly take you up on your free 1 hour consultation?
Yes. My website is Savannah, Savannah, Lonnie.com. And then I also have my Instagram at Savannah Lonnie and my LinkedIn. And you can contact me via my contact form, email, or send me a message on LinkedIn. Although I might not get back to you very quickly on LinkedIn. Sometimes I forget to check LinkedIn.
That's all good. So reach out to Savannah at Savannah Lani on Instagram, or just go straight to her website, savannahlani.com. Highly recommend following Savannah. I mean, this was just absolutely incredible what you shared with us today. And I'm sure there's so much more that you are sharing with the world. So for all our listeners.
When I met you at our dinner, what was it? It was Supper Club, right?
It was Supper Club, yeah.
It was so fun.
It was the one where we did the mission and vision and purpose, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's
so beautiful how the world brings like-minded people together.
I know. It's so great.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for this chance to talk. It was my first podcast, first live stream.
Very it was amazing grateful. To have you. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah,
and thanks for all our listeners for listening in and joining us today. That's it for today. And I hope you found our conversation with Savannah as enlightening and as empowering as I did. And remember that your story really holds incredible power. So embrace it and let it guide you to a life filled with purpose and clarity. And if you're feeling inspired and want to dive deeper into finding career clarity, I want to give a shout out that I'm going to be hosting a free masterclass, which is going to be happening on September 17th. There's going to be three different dates, September 17th, the 19th, and the 24th. And this masterclass is designed to help you get a clear path and proven steps to finding a career you love. Head over to careerbloomcoaching.com/masterclass to secure your spot now. And even if you can't make it live, you can still sign up and I will send you the replay to your inbox. Thank you for tuning in, everyone, and we will see you next time.